I always like to say, you know, that we've taken what was once one of the most common human experiences, which is walking out your door at night and coming face to face with the universe. And we've made that one of the most rare human experiences that almost never happens. We just don't get to do that. But then we also have very tangible costs. We're with light pollution. We're wasting a lot of money. All the light that's going up into the straight up into the sky, that's not doing anybody good any good, is wasted energy, wasted money. We're learning more and more about the negative impacts to human health, physical health. You know, the disrupting circadian rhythms and contributing to sleep disorders and stopping the production of melatonin in our bloodstream. There are the environmental effects, you know, that are really very motivating for me. 60% of invertebrate species, mostly insects, are purely nocturnal. 30% of vertebrate species are nocturnal. And then so many other creatures are crepuscular. They're most active at dawn and dusk. And when we flood their habitat with artificial light, it makes their lives very difficult, if not impossible, to pursue. So, and again, it's an unnecessary cost. We don't need to be wasting all this light. We can have the light we need where we need it and no more. And it's really an exciting time to be talking about the issue too, because of the advent of LED lighting, which is coming everywhere to communities all over. And many of the big cities have already installed LED streetlights and that kind of thing. And
what does an LED light do that changes the equation here?
Well, LEDs are electronic lighting. We're moving from, as we moved from oil lamps to gas lamps to electric lighting, now we're moving to electronic lighting, which is really exciting because they're far more energy efficient. So we save money right off the top. And this is the great promise, they are highly programmable. So we could have a laptop sitting here with us and we could program all the lighting in Harrisonburg, you know, and have maybe a little bit more light when folks are out during the evening. And then maybe at 3 a.m, we turn down those lights and save some money.
Now, one of the other things you've been looking into is the ground. Your most recent work, which is coming out in March, titled The Ground Beneath Us, From the Oldest Cities to the Last Wilderness, What Dirt Tells Us About Who We Are. What have you been learning there?
I found this really fascinating fact, which is that in the Western civilized world, we now spend 90 to 95% of our time inside. So in our buildings, in our houses, in our cars.
Disconnected from the dirt beneath us.
Completely disconnected. And then, you know, for a lot of us, when we do walk outside, we walk on pavement. So there's this literal separation from the natural ground, which has its own costs. Doctors and researchers are finding that it's actually really important for us to be, especially as kids, to be exposed to the microbiome that's in the soil, that's in the ground. And we cut ourselves off from that. There are consequences there. But fewer and fewer of us are walking, and we're walking less than we ever have before. So it all feeds into this, you know, theme of our separation from the natural world, in this case, the natural ground, and the many costs from that. I think just the fact that, you know, our literal separation from the ground really inspired me to look at all the sort of our separations from the other grounds that are so important to us, that give us our food, our water, our energy, and even our spirit.
Well, we use the term grounded, and a very grounded individual is someone we think is stable. And I imagine that as you were doing your research, you kind of discovered why.
Yeah, I think so, because I think to be grounded is to be connected with reality. And I think we live so much of our life in some ways disconnected from reality. The idea that we think we can exist without these, you know, food, water, energy, and spirit, all that what the natural world gives to us. We think we just kind of exist in some sort of vacuum, or I would phrase it sort of like we're walking disconnected from the ground, like we're walking through the air or something like that. And, you know, the reality of it is that we depend on the planet for everything that we use, everything that we need in our daily life comes from the planet. And to be disconnected from that reality, I think, is quite dangerous for us going forward.
Paul Bogard, author of The End of Night and the forthcoming book, The Ground Beneath Us, coming out in March. Thank you for stopping by and talking a bit about the sky and the ground beneath us. And I look forward to hearing more at our next Books and Brews.
Thank you, Matt. Great to be here.